Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, Aurora and I are tackling a topic that, honestly, it might make you look at your kitchen pantry a little differently, or even your phone. We're diving into what we're calling the new detox problem, heavy metals in our modern lifestyle.
You know, Adan, for so long, when people heard heavy metals, they pictured something out of a factory, right? Like a worker in a mine or some industrial accident. That's the image that always came to my mind. But what we're learning is that picture is completely outdated. It's so much closer to home now.
Exactly. That's the core of it. We used to think of it as this dramatic, occupational hazard. Now, it's insidious. It's quiet. It's repeated. It's spread across so many small, daily sources that we just don't even consider. We're talking about things like your protein shake, a piece of dark chocolate, or even the air you breathe during a wildfire.
Yeah, and I think the natural reaction for a lot of people might be to panic. Like, oh my gosh, is everything toxic? But that's really not the goal here, is it? The goal is to become smarter, not to live in fear of every single meal or product. It's about understanding where these exposures might come from.
Absolutely. It's about empowering ourselves with knowledge, not paralysis. And to start, let's talk about the usual suspects when we discuss heavy metals. We often hear about lead, mercury, cadmium, and arsenic. These are the big ones most people have at least a passing familiarity with.
And for good reason. The World Health Organization, for instance, calls lead a toxic metal that can just mess with so many body systems. Children are especially vulnerable, which is heartbreaking because it can harm their brain and nervous system development. But adults aren't off the hook either. High blood pressure, cardiovascular issues, kidney damage. It's a serious problem.
Then there's mercury, another major concern. Again, WHO lists it as a chemical of major public health concern. It can hit your nervous system, your digestive system, your immune system, lungs, kidneys, skin, even your eyes. And like lead, it's particularly important during pregnancy and early childhood because of that developing nervous system sensitivity.
Cadmium, though, is a bit quieter, isn't it? It's used in batteries and industrial processes, but it can also show up in food grown in contaminated soil. The UK Health Security Agency points to kidney toxicity as its critical effect. And arsenic, which is naturally occurring, can contaminate groundwater and certain foods. The FDA monitors it because, at certain levels, it's definitely harmful. Long-term exposure to inorganic arsenic can even cause skin changes.
So the metals themselves aren't new. What's changed is how we encounter them. It's this new pattern of exposure, small amounts from many, many sources. Think about it. Someone might be drinking tap water from older pipes, eating high cacao chocolate daily, using a plant-based protein powder, consuming rice, eating high mercury fish, using imported spices, maybe they live near heavy traffic or wildfire smoke, renovate an older home, and take supplements that haven't been properly tested.
That's a lot, right? Each one of those exposures might seem tiny on its own, insignificant even, but the body doesn't experience them in isolation. It experiences the total accumulation. That's why I really like the phrase toxic burden rather than just toxicity. Toxicity sounds like an emergency, a sudden poisoning. Toxic burden better describes this gradual pressure our bodies are under from chemicals, metals, pollutants, and even lifestyle stressors over time.
It's a much more accurate way to frame it. And when we talk about sources, food is often one of the most important, simply because we eat every single day. Let's start with rice and arsenic. Rice is actually quite good at absorbing arsenic from soil and water, more so than many other grains.
Yeah, and that's why the FDA has an action level for inorganic arsenic in infant rice cereals, because infants and young children are just more vulnerable due to their smaller body size and developing systems. But this doesn't mean rice is bad forever, right? It means variety is key.
Exactly. Rotate your grains. Quinoa, oats, buckwheat, millet, barley. Don't rely too heavily on just one food source. And then there's fish and mercury. Fish is incredibly healthy, full of omega-3s, but mercury definitely complicates the conversation. The FDA and EPA still recommend fish, especially lower mercury seafood. Even for pregnant or breastfeeding women, they advise 8 to 12 ounces per week from those lower mercury choices.
It's not that seafood is inherently bad. It's about regularly eating those larger, predatory fish that accumulate more methylmercury. Think shark, swordfish, king mackerel, big eye tuna, some types of tilefish. My simple rule of thumb, smaller fish are usually safer than big predator fish.
That's a great simple rule. And moving on to another healthy food, dark chocolate. It's often promoted for its antioxidants, but several investigations have flagged concerns about lead and cadmium. Consumer Reports, for example, tested 28 dark chocolate bars and found measurable lead and cadmium in all of them.
Again, not saying chocolate is forbidden. What a tragedy that would be. But if you're someone who has a square of high cacao dark chocolate every single day, and you're already concerned about your heavy metal burden, maybe it's time to rethink that as an everyday habit and make it more of a special treat.
Definitely. And the cinnamon issue recently, with those applesauce pouches, really brought to light that even natural products can be contaminated. The FDA found elevated lead and chromium in those and issued public health alerts about certain ground cinnamon products. It's a stark reminder that contamination can happen anywhere in the supply chain.
It completely shatters that idea that natural automatically means clean. It's really unsettling. Which brings us to another uncomfortable modern detox issue. It's health products. Sometimes people trying to improve their health may actually be accidentally increasing their toxic burden. Protein powders are a prime example.
They really are. The Clean Label Project tested 160 protein powders and found that almost half, 47%, exceeded at least one federal or state safety threshold, including California's Proposition 65. 21% were more than double those levels. Consumer Reports found lead concerns in many too, and interestingly, plant-based powders might sometimes be more vulnerable because plants can absorb metals from the soil.
That's not to say all plant proteins are contaminated, but it really highlights the importance of choosing brands that publish third-party testing. If you're using these powders daily, you really need to be diligent. And cosmetics are another overlooked source. The FDA has actually tested cosmetics for arsenic, cadmium, lead, mercury, and nickel, among others. Depending on the amount and how long you're exposed, these can be toxic.
The key message here is simple. Quality control matters. Whether it's supplements, herbs, protein powders, or cosmetics, you want to choose companies that test properly and are transparent about their standards. Moving beyond what we consume, let's talk about our homes. Lead exposure is still heavily linked with older housing, paint, dust, and contaminated soil. The EPA explains that lead is harmful if inhaled or swallowed, especially for young children and pregnant women.
This is so crucial, especially when it comes to renovations. If you're sanding, scraping, drilling, or demolishing older painted surfaces, you can turn hidden lead paint into breathable or ingestible dust. Children are particularly at risk because they play on the floor, put things in their mouths. So a detox lifestyle isn't just about supplements, is it? Sometimes it's about really practical things like taking your shoes off at the door, wet mopping, using HEPA filtration, testing old paint, and being careful with soil around older homes.
Absolutely, those seemingly small habits make a huge difference. And then there's something we probably don't think of as toxic at all, our electronics, e-waste. We love our phones, laptops, and devices, but they have a really toxic afterlife if they're not recycled or disposed of properly. The WHO points out that millions of electrical devices are discarded every year and can become a threat to health and the environment.
And the impact on children is just horrifying. Kids who are involved in or live near unsafe e-waste recycling can be exposed to lead, mercury, cadmium, and other toxic chemicals, which can affect neurodevelopment even at very low levels. The EPA warns about workers, too, with possible irreversible health effects like neurological damage and diminished IQs. It's truly a modern paradox. The technology that simplifies our lives can create a toxic burden somewhere else if we're not careful with disposal.
A perfect example of that new detox problem. And then we have the air we breathe. Air pollution isn't just exhaust fumes. Fine particles can carry metals and other pollutants. Wildfires are particularly complex because they burn homes, cars, wiring, batteries, treated wood, plastics, all of which can release heavy metals. Smoke, ash, urban dust, depending on what's burned, can become exposure routes for lead, arsenic, cadmium, chromium, and mercury.
This is where prevention really shines. Good indoor air filtration, N95 masks during smoke events, careful ash cleanup, and just reducing indoor dust. And Adan, there's even a cutting-edge area now, the interaction between microplastics and heavy metals. They're finding that microplastics can act as carriers for environmental pollutants, including heavy metals, potentially amplifying health concerns.
It's a terrifying thought, but again, not a reason to panic every time you touch plastic. It's another reason to reduce unnecessary plastic exposure where practical. Avoid heating food in plastic. Choose glass or stainless steel for hot liquids, use filtered water, and try to reduce ultra-processed, heavily packaged foods. Because the body isn't exposed to one thing at a time. Real life is a mixture. Metals, plastics, pesticides, solvents, air pollutants, food additives, stress, poor sleep, inflammation. That's why a modern detox strategy has to be realistic and broad.
Absolutely. It's the cumulative effect. So how do these heavy metals actually affect the body? They can interfere in several ways. They might increase oxidative stress, basically pushing the body towards more free radical damage. They can disrupt mitochondria, which are our cells' energy factories. They can bind to sulfur-containing groups in proteins and enzymes, messing them up.
They can also interfere with crucial minerals like zinc, calcium, selenium, and iron. And they can affect major systems, the nervous system, kidneys, liver, immune system, hormones, cardiovascular system. The symptoms can be really vague too, which makes it tricky. Fatigue, brain fog, headaches, poor concentration, tingling, mood changes, digestive issues, sleep problems, chemical sensitivity, poor recovery.
And this is such an important warning. Symptoms alone do not diagnose heavy metal toxicity. So many of those symptoms could also be from thyroid disease, anemia, B12 deficiency, mold exposure, infections, poor sleep, stress, blood sugar imbalance, autoimmune disease, or even medication side effects. That's why good practice means asking, what are the likely sources? Is exposure still happening? Which metal is most plausible? What test actually matches that exposure? Is the patient medically fragile? Are their bowels, kidneys, and liver functioning well? And is practitioner support needed?
Those are critical questions. We can't just jump to conclusions, but we can take practical steps. So let's put together a kind of modern detox checklist. First, clean up the daily diet, but don't obsess over one food. Rotate. Rotate grains instead of relying heavily on rice. Choose lower mercury fish. Keep dark chocolate as a treat, not a daily food group. Buy spices from trusted brands, and use whole foods more often than powdered replacements.
That's such a foundational start. Then, choose cleaner supplements. Look for third-party testing. Avoid unknown imported products. Be really careful with very cheap herbal products. And please, don't take multiple detox supplements at once without guidance. Ask for certificates of analysis when possible. And then, back to the home, improve indoor air and dust control. Use HEPA filtration. Take shoes off indoors. Wet mop instead of dry sweeping. Test old homes before renovating, and keep children away from peeling paint and contaminated dust.
Great points, and for our fourth item, reduce plastic and packaging exposure. Avoid microwaving plastic, use glass or stainless steel for hot drinks and food, filter water where needed, and reduce heavily packaged, ultra-processed foods. Number 5, dispose of electronics responsibly. Recycle batteries and devices through safe programs. Don't burn electronics. Don't dismantle them without proper safety procedures, and definitely keep children away from e-waste handling.
And finally, support your body's natural elimination pathways. This isn't glamorous, but it matters so much. Your liver, bile, gut, kidneys, lymph, sweat, and bowels are constantly working to process and eliminate unwanted substances. So focus on hydration, fiber, adequate protein, minerals, regular bowel movements, good sleep, movement, sweating when appropriate, and antioxidant-rich foods.
It all ties together, doesn't it? Modern life has made heavy metal exposure more complicated, which is why just random detoxing isn't effective. A sensible strategy should first reduce ongoing exposure and then support the body's normal elimination systems in a structured way. This is where something like Dr. Georgiou's HMD protocol comes in. It's built around a very practical idea: mobilize, bind, and drain.
In plain language, mobilize means helping to support the movement of those stored toxic metals. Bind means helping to capture these substances in the gut so they're not just reabsorbed into the body, which is crucial. and drain means actively supporting those elimination pathways, the liver, bile, bowel, kidneys, and lymph, so the body can actually get rid of these things.
Exactly. For anyone listening, the key message here is that detoxification isn't about punishing your body. It's about helping it work better. Start with those strong foundations. Reduce avoidable exposure. Test when appropriate with a professional. And if you're looking for support, use a structured protocol rather than just guessing. It's about being proactive and intelligent, not fearful.
I couldn't agree more. The new detox problem isn't some single dramatic exposure. It's this modern mixture of food contaminants, air pollution, old homes, electronics, plastics, supplements, cosmetics, smoke, dust, and soil. It's a lot to contend with.
But the good news, Aurora, is that small changes really do add up. Cleaner choices, better filtration, smarter food rotation, safer product selection, responsible e-waste disposal, and structured detox support can all help reduce your body's burden. In today's world, detox isn't just a fad. Done intelligently, it's absolutely part of modern preventive health.
It truly is. So let's all strive to be smarter, not scared. Thanks for joining us today, everyone, on this crucial discussion. We hope you found it insightful and empowering.
Absolutely. Stay well, stay informed, and we'll catch you next time.